Jody Connor reaches into his refrigerator in his lab.
This is a cyanobacteria that we've collected. This one comes from Harvey Lake in Northwood. And see how green that sample is.
He's the director of New Hampshire's Limnology Center. Connor has been collecting samples of cyanobacteria from lakes across New Hampshire. It looks like green scummy algae on the surface of the water that can be several inches thick, but it's actually bacteria. Connor says cyanobacteria feed on nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen that can come from runoff of lawn fertilizers or sewage.
They need sunlight, they need phosphorus, and they seem to like the warmer waters. So they really grow in mass numbers when they have all three of those.
Jim Haney is a professor of biological sciences at the University of New Hampshire. He says in high enough concentrations, some cyanobacteria blooms can produce more than 70 different kinds of liver toxins called microcystins.
That scum can be toxic enough that it's been estimated that only about 17 milliliters is enough to kill the small child. Well, 17 milliliters translates in just a couple of teaspoons.
Cyanobacteria blooms can also produce neurotoxins. Haney and other researchers have embarked on research to find out if there's a connection between cyanobacteria and patients with Lou Gehrig's disease, also known as ALS. The research began when Dr. Elijah Stomel began mapping hundreds of ALS patients across New Hampshire. Stomel is a neurologist at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. He noticed the incidence of ALS was 2.5 times greater than the national rate around lakes known to have had significant cyanobacteria blooms. Stonewall says he found a particularly high cluster of patients on one lake in the western part of the state.
We were able to establish that there appeared to be about a 25-fold increase in what one would expect to see for the ALS incidence.
But he's not sure if cyanobacteria are the culprit. A few scientific studies have shown a particular type of neurotoxin found in cyanobacteria is also found in patients with ALS. The neurotoxin is known as BMAA, but it's not known whether BMAA can trigger ALS. Jim Haney says more research is needed.
We know that in the laboratory, a wide range of different types of cyanobacteria are able to produce BMAA. So one of our goals this summer is to determine whether there are BMAA molecules present in our lakes.
So far, researchers haven't found BMAA, and there are still a lot of unknowns about how people could be exposed. Do you have to drink it, or can you breathe it in the air? How long do you need to be exposed to it before it can cause damage? Again, Dr. Elijah Stomel.
If there is a link between cyanobacterial blooms and the toxins they make and a neurodegenerative disease like ALS, then I think we should pursue that with as much vigor as we can. And I think that the neurology literature would suggest that there probably is an environmental trigger for ALS.
But scientists have not yet found that link. If they do, Stomel says that link might help find ways to prevent the dangerous toxins or block their effects. For the Environment Report, I'm Amy Quinton.